TMZ TV.
My sister thinks that me smoking cigars on the show is a giant distraction. I don't know what she means. What do you mean? What do you mean, Kelly? How is it a distraction? I don't understand. This is Martin Zender from South Florida. And I'm going to pick up where I left off yesterday. I promised you a great revelation. Honestly, I don't know how I packed so many revelations into this short book Eve raised. I told you that there was a verse from Genesis 3:16 that has really put down women over the last two millennia. Oh, it's only 2,000 years. So I'm going to fix it for you today, and I'm going to show you what this actually says. I don't like the concordant translation, believe it or not, but the concordant does put certain notations in the text that brings this passage to light and brings us a revelation that we have not had before. The passage in question is Genesis 3:16. A distraction? And here we go. And to the woman he said, this is the curse that came upon women after the debacle of Genesis. If you're not watching the yard cam, I put debacle in air quotes because this was a design of God. It was meant to happen. It was the best thing that could have happened. It was designed to happen because without this great sin, of course, we don't have a revelation of a Savior. And to the woman he said, I shall increase, yea, increase your grief and the groanings of your pregnancy. In grief shall you bear children, yet by your husband is your restoration, and he shall rule over you. There's the killer phraseology. He shall rule over you. Now, the wording of this passage suggests that a husband rescues his wife from the curse. He restores her, and that the wife repays the favor by becoming subservient to him. This is misleading. And so I'm going to look deeper into this passage. Now, in the concordant version of the Old Testament, there's a footnote at the word restoration. This footnote says impulse. So the actual word is not restoration, it's impulse. My question would be, obviously, why wasn't impulse put in the text? Why a footnote? But at least we have the footnote. Where do you see what's going to happen here? This means that the Hebrew word, which is teshakwa, that's the Hebrew word translated restoration in the concordant version of the Old Testament, by your husband is your restoration. But the footnote says impulse, and the word teshakwa means impulse, not restoration. Where the word over appears, in other words, your husband is your restoration, he shall rule over you. This is the critical word, over you. He shall rule over you. Well, in the concordant version, above the word over, there's a little superscript I. And that little superscript I means that the word in the original Hebrew is not over, it's in. It's not over you, it's in. He shall rule in you. Again, why the concordant version did not put in the context, I don't know. Nobody asked me. So, I'm going to put it in there. And this is perfectly legal because that is the word, and they do make that notation in the concordant version that this word is in, not over. Again, why the concordant version doesn't use in, I don't know, but at least they make note of it. Now, there's another very literal translation of the Hebrew that I like. It's called the Devar translation. It's otherwise known as the Writ. It was put together by F.H. Bader. Actually, this version is more consistent than the concordant version. It's just not quite as readable because it's uber literal. But the bar translation, actually it's spelled the bar, but it's pronounced davar. I know this. This is inside information. They import these elements into the text. So here's the passage from the davar translation. Listen to this. Unto the woman he spoke, quote, to increase, I shall increase your sadness and your pregnancy. In sadness you will bear sons, and unto your man will be your striving, but he will rule within you. So they got the in right. Notice that for the Hebrew word teshakwa, the Devar translation has striving. The Concordant has impulse. In the text they have restoration. But to me, the word striving is much closer to impulse than the Concordant version's restoration. Additionally, there's a footnote at the word within in the Devar translation. The footnote says the heart of. The heart of, that is in, it's more than simply in, but it's the heart of a thing. And where the word but appears, as in, but he will rule within you, there's a superscript A, there's a little notation. This means that the word in the original Hebrew is and, rather than but. I know that this sounds very complicated, but you're going to see the beauty of this momentarily. Putting all these pieces together, the word in where it should be there, heart where it should be there, impulse or striving where it should be there, this is what we get. This is the Martin Zender version of Genesis 3, Genesis 3:16. What I'm going to read to you is based on the literal Hebrew, putting together elements brought out by the most accurate Hebrew translations in my possession, the Concordant literal Old Testament and the Devar translation or the Rit. Unto the woman he spoke, to increase, I shall increase your sadness and your pregnancy. Sorry, that part doesn't change. Yeah, we all know that women bear children in much sadness and much grief. Just part of the curse. I'm sorry. It wasn't my idea. If it was up to me, babies would just slip out. But it wasn't up to me. In sadness, you will bear sons. And unto your man will be your impulse and striving, and he will rule in your heart. So instead of he will rule over you, over is in, and the idea of inside is there, so much so that the Devar translation has a notation that says heart. Are you getting the difference here? Your impulse and striving, he will rule. This man now, part of the curse that Eve got, is that your man now will rule in you. In what sense? He will rule in you. He will be the impulse. Your impulse will now be toward this man, and your inner being, that is your heart, will be inclined or striving toward him. This is post-curse. And so it's not that Adam becomes Eve's restoration. Rather, he now becomes her undertaking. It's a newfound void within her. I always talk about how Adam lost something in the creation of Eve. He lost that angular organ, or he lost the womb, the uterus, as you know, or you may not know if you're listening to me for the first time. Adam did not have a rib removed from him to create the woman. That is absurd. It's ridiculous. Makes no sense. Christians tell us that, oh, men have one more rib than women. No, they don't. Everybody's got the same amount of ribs. Two pairs of 12, 24 all together. Women do not have an extra rib. Men do not have one less rib. It was an angular vault. this is another message altogether. The Hebrew word is sela, T-S-E-L-A. It means a vault, a cell, or an angular organ. Anyway, yes, Adam was once a complete human being. He had both sexes inside of him. He had no need. He had all the ruggedness and strength that we associate with masculinity, but he also had the delicate innocence, and he also had, he could write great poems, and he could multitask back before the uterus, the female parts were removed from him. See? And now Adam has a void, and Eve completes that void. She answers his emptiness. And when the sexes come together, watch the yard cam. The parts come back together, and humanity is in a little piece whole again. It's a beautiful thing. It makes a perfect sense. Rib makes no sense. Does a man long for his missing rib in the marriage embrace? I don't think so. Never heard anybody talk about it. No, but we know what a man does long for, and it's the same thing a woman longs for. A man longs to fill. A woman longs to be filled. This is because humanity becomes whole again in the sexual union. And it is a parable, it is a picture of a gigantic union that's future with God and His creation. I'm going to get into this when we start talking about divine principles of sexual attraction. So now Eve has something missing now. She now desires to take care of this man. He now rules in her, not over her. So she now cares about the welfare of this man with a care that she didn't have before the curse. So Adam's his deficiencies incline her, that is her impulse, her striving now, incline her toward his aid. Now her heart is telling her that without her care, this man dies, or he doesn't do as well without her. And now, I'm sorry, ladies, but you've been cursed with caring about this man. You care about him, right? He might not be the best looking guy. He may be a slob. He may be a doofus in many aspects. And yet, you just can't help it. You care about this man. That's part of your curse. God put, here it is, unto your man will be your impulse and striving, and he will rule in your heart. What a difference between by your husband is your restoration, he shall rule over you. No, it's not over, it's in, he shall rule in you. Even if that word were put in the context, it would make us rethink this whole thing. How does he rule in her? How does the man rule inside her? This is not a subjection thing where a man says, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Unfortunately, men have seen this passage and they go, see, I shall rule over you. And they become kind of like dictators. I'm not saying men aren't, their husbands aren't the heads of their wives. They are. They're still the heads, but it's not a dictatorship. Okay? If it is, something's wrong. And I think this mistranslation has aided and abetted the tendency of males to, you know, pull rank. The husband does have rank in the marriage, in a covenant relationship between a man and a woman and God. However, as Jesus Christ was the head of the ecclesia, he came to what? He came to serve. He lays down his headship in a way. I mean, he doesn't actually lay it down, but he demonstrates it by serving. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to use my headship to serve the ecclesia, to become even lower than the ecclesia, to the point where I wash the feet of my disciples. A husband in a marriage under God should be the same thing. He rules by serving. And for her part, she now has a new impulse, and you're striving now, part of the curse, you're striving, your impulse shall be toward this man. Why God, why'd you do this to me? Well, because now he's going to rule in your heart. And it is remarkably true that men live longer in marriages than women do. I mean, men thrive in a marriage. This is not an equal deal, because marriage actually, this scientific evidence has proven this, men actually benefit more in marriage than women do. The women are like, oh God, I gotta take care of this guy. But there's something about that satisfies you, doesn't it? Something about it satisfies you. And we all know what the man wants to do, right? He wants to get his missing part back. He misses the old neighborhood. And so he's like, honey, can I go back to the old neighborhood tonight? I want to visit. I miss my vagina. I want it back. So please, can I visit the old neighborhood? That's what that's all about. And then because the wife has this curse where now she's like, this is good for him. He needs this. And I'm not saying she doesn't need it, but let's face it, men historically have a higher sex drive than women. I'm just noting this. I mean, it's not universal. There's different, you know. But generally speaking, I think you'll agree with me. If you don't, why don't you? My goal by the time this video is finished, which will be shortly, is to have you agree with me. Life will be better for you if you just agree with me, okay? Now, because this stuff makes sense, it's practical. It, like, answers things. Right translations answer things. That God removed an angular organ from Adam and not a rib, that answers so many things. It all makes sense. The two become one flesh. I get it now. Same with this. Your striving will be toward this man. He will rule in your heart. Listen to this. I got a quote here in the book. I want you to order this book. It's hard to believe that this much information is packed in Eve Race. There's more revelations in here that you've never heard in a short book than, I mean, we should be charging $100 for this book. I'm going to talk to Kelly about upping the price to $100. So you better order this while it's only $9.95. $9.95? You're getting this information for $9.95? And now I'm basically giving it to you for nothing. It's the kind of guy I am. And but the book, it's great because it's in print and you can hand it to your friends. Janelle Miles from the National Medical Correspondents in Brisbane, Australia. She reported this in 2005. This is from the AAP Newswire. It says this: marriage may add almost a year to a man's life, but it does little to boost the lifespan of women, Australian researchers have found. A study of about 3,000 elderly men and women since 1988 found married men live an average 11 months longer than their single counterparts. But marital status for women made no significant difference to longevity. Sorry, ladies. Let's keep it going, though. It's a good arrangement. In the Journal of Marriage and Family, a woman named Lauren Wisp of the University of Oklahoma wrote this: there is considerable evidence that marriage is positively correlated with longevity for both men and women, although the benefits of marriage favor men more than women. While matrimony appears to be particularly benevolent to men, the final arbiter, biology, still favors women over men in general mortality rates. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is so true. Now, I'm looking at my clock, and I was kind of hoping to finish this thing on Eve today, so I'd have a clean break at the end of the week, and then on Monday I'll start talking to you about the book Beyond Politics. But I don't want to rush that, because I have one more thing to say to you about this book, and it has to do with a woman's hair. Oh, I know you've heard me talk about this before, but you can't make this up. Scripture says that a woman's tresses are her glory. Why is that? I got to dedicate an entire show to that. I'm sorry, I'm going to do that Monday. In the meantime, I have an illustration on page 53 of Eve Raised of a woman. I'm going to show you. I'll show you a picture of a cursed woman. This woman's cursed, okay? Let me show you. But the man is blessed. Here it is. If you're watching the yard cam, look at this. You see the guy? You see the guy there? Look at her. By golly, He is ruling in her heart. Look at her. Look at those hands on his shoulder. Look at that. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Her hand on his shoulder. This guy's going to live another 11 months. There he is. Look at him. He looks like a sad man, but he'd be a lot sadder if it weren't for this. And look at this woman. She is so beautiful. I think she cares about this man. She loves him. She can't help it. She doesn't know why. It's because of the curse. The curse made you care for this guy. Wouldn't life be easier, ladies, if you didn't care so much about the big lummox? Yeah, but you do. Sorry about your luck. But, you know, sometimes we're good for moving heavy objects because we are stronger. So if you need the furniture rearranged, as you often do, from my experience, then men are very good at picking up the sofa or the lazy boy and moving it to a different part of the living room. Now, we don't know where to move it. We have no idea why we're moving it. But if you tell us to move it, we have enough muscles to pick it up and put it where you would like us to put it. We want to help. We do. And is there anything in it for us? Yeah, there kind of is.